the doubt the Lord gave me is troubled. And I was thinking about how that we face many troubles when we come in this life. But what are we going to do with these things? Are we going to allow them to make us feel troubled in our heart and in our minds? You know, sometimes everybody has trouble. That scripture in Job says, man that is born of a woman that liveth but a few days and is full of trouble. So trouble comes to everyone. But what are we going to do with the trouble? Is it going to affect our lives so that we can't function? Is it going to, I was thinking, are you troubled? Am I troubled? Am I allowing the things that happen around me to trouble me, my heart and my spirit and my soul? I don't believe God wants us to do that. Jesus came here for a purpose, that we can have something, peace, in spite of troubles. We can have peace. That song says, when there's no peace on earth, there's peace in Christ. And so, the Lord doesn't want us to be troubled. Let's go to John 14 and read verses 1 through 4. And then we'll skip down to verse 27. St. John 14 and 1.
St. John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe God, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know.
So he says, let not your heart be troubled. He knew that we would have troubles. Things are going to happen. But we don't have to let it get into our heart. And our heart is troubled. If you notice, the title is troubled, but it has a question mark. So are we letting our heart be troubled? Or are we believing in God? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So we can find hope. That song says, there is hope. We can have hope in Christ in spite of troubles. And it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus has gone to give us a life beyond this life, beyond this life of trouble. We have, he said, he'd go to prepare a place for us. And if he go and prepare a place for us, he'll come again and receive us unto himself. And that's what we want. We have hope beyond this life. You know, I was talking to someone, and they were talking about the things that's happening in our country with the government shut down and people that are maybe on food stamps, they will be perhaps losing them. And this person, they've kind of prepared for that kind of time. They have food saved up and stored away and stuff like that. And they said that people will start stealing when they get hungry. In other words, we might, and it's very true, we may have, you know, a lot of more crimes and things happening because of it. But still, the Lord want us to look beyond all those things. It's a dark time right now. Lots of things are happening. But he wants us not to be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let's go down to verse 27. Same chapter.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Are you afraid? Are you troubled? Does it look like things is going to be so bad that we don't know what's going to happen to us? He said, let not your, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. He doesn't want us to be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He wants us to have confidence in him. I have a natural tendency to fear. I've had it all my life. It's been a part of who I've been, a fearful person. But I found that during those times of fear, that I could take the word of God and I could quote it, and it helps me through those fearful times. My mother was kind of like that. She was easy to be afraid about different things. Right now, if we had critters like mice and one was to come up here, I might be in a little trouble. But I don't want to let trouble come into my heart. So I found that trusting in the Lord helps me with fear, natural fears. Fears, I can't stand most things, okay, when it comes to critters. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a privilege we have to have someone strong to take our case. You know, if you are kind of weak and you can't do a lot of things, it feels so comforting to have a strong person right there to do something. If I was in Honduras and we went to a person's house and somebody got a chance to see something, some of Honduras and how it was. Well, they have this little walkway over a little water. It's not a big river or anything, but it's kind of a little water under a little bridge, and you walk over it. And they were kind of amazed how I was able to do that. It took God for me to do that. I've seen the time that I couldn't. I was too afraid. If you got a little bridge about as wide as this, you know, not very wide, just wide enough for you to go on, and it's made out of wood and it's over water, that naturally would make me afraid. That's natural. But I find that when I need to do that, God gives me strength. So he wants us to not be troubled. He wants us not to be afraid. Let's go to Isaiah 9 and read 6 and 7. Jesus came to give us peace. His reason for coming, one of the reasons, is peace on earth. Remember the angels told the shepherds, they began to sing, I think, and they say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That was God's purpose, his design, to send his son, to send peace. And you know, we're going to need peace, that peace, I think, more than we've ever. I think more than I've ever in my life. It feels like we're facing some serious stuff that we're going to need the peace of God in our hearts. Isaiah 9:6-7.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon his throne, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
See here, there's no end to it. He provided peace when he was born and he came into the world, but it didn't stop there. And I'm so thankful it didn't stop there, because we can enjoy this peace down to the end of time. It says there is no end. So the peace that he wants to give us in the time of trouble will last throughout the ages, no matter how dismal things look in our country, in our society, in our world. We're living in that kind of time. But Jesus has come that we can have peace, and there's no end to it. John 16:33. I'm thankful that he has provided for our peace. And I was thinking in one of these scriptures, it was telling how that Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they didn't even recognize. They rejected him. They didn't recognize what the peace that he had for them.
16:33.
Mm-hmm.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
So can we be encouraged? Because in Jesus we can have peace. We have an opportunity to go through the hard times of life with the peace of God in our heart because of Jesus. He says that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. We have to recognize, Brother Larry was praying and he was saying it's going to be hard. He's talking about these girls as they grow up and they get out on their own. Life is going to be hard. But you can, if you stay with the Lord and you live for him, you can have peace in spite of tribulation, in spite of what happens in your life. Luke 19, let's read 41 to 44.
Luke 19:41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but thou they are hid from thy eyes. But they shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shame shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He saw that they did not accept him. So with there was coming a time, there was going to be some hard times for them. But they had rejected him, and they didn't recognize the peace that he wanted to give them. I think today, if we could get a vision of what Jesus feels today, no doubt his heart weeps, his heart is grieved because many people do not accept him. And he has nothing but good for them. He has peace for them. We don't want to be like these Jews that rejected God, rejected Jesus. We want to accept him because hard times will come, but we don't want to turn our back on him. I want you, girls, I want you to sing that, not the verse, but just the chorus, "There is peace in Christ." Just sing it right there where you are. Gives us hope when hope is gone. When there is no peace on earth, there is peace in Christ. So let us find when we are in trouble, when there are things going wrong, we have an opportunity to take all these wrong things to the Lord. And he will give us peace in the midst of those hard times and those storms. Let's go now to Matthew 11. This is what we can do. Sometimes you say, well, what can I do? Everything is just falling down around us, seems like. We can go to God. We can take our troubles to him. So Matthew 11 and 28 to 30.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
So here we can do this. What can I do? I can come unto Jesus. Jesus has provided a way. He's provided a solution and a way out of trouble. It doesn't mean the trouble will always go away, but he will keep us from being troubled. If we come unto him, if we bring our burdens to him, he said, ye that are labor and heavy laden, if you have heavy burdens and heavy things on your heart, you can bring them to the Lord. And he said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. We can learn to trust in God. It's something to learn from the Lord. When we come to him, learn how to cast your cares on him. 1 Peter 5:7-8. Let's not feel like we got to bear him alone because the Lord is there. Jesus has come, and because he's come, we don't have to be troubled. You see, you look outside, it looks gloomy, doesn't it? And we had all this fog, it looked like we could barely see. At first, it was a question as to whether we'd be able to come because it looked so foggy. That's the way life is right now. It's a lot of fog, so to speak, a lot of gloom. But we can lift up our hearts to him. He doesn't want our hearts down. He wants us to be able to rejoice in him at all times, even in the hard times. Did you get 1 Peter 5:7-8?
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
You see, that's what the devil does. He brings all these troubles. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to destroy our hope. He's trying to destroy our peace. He's trying to make us feel like there's no way out, when it is, because there's peace in Christ. So we want to bring them, cast all. Not, we don't have to just cast the little stuff, say, oh, I can tell the Lord about this. I got a little headache, or I stuck my finger, or this. You can tell, you can bring all of your problems, big and small and little, medium, whatever they are, casting all your care upon. And the good thing about it, we know he cares. Sometimes you go to people and you try to talk to them and they don't act like they even care. They don't hardly seem to care about what's bothering you. But Jesus cares. There's a song said, Brother Jerry sings, "Does Jesus Care?" You know that song, somebody? Yes, but you heard it. He said, "Does Jesus care?" Yes, he cares. Whatever you're going through, whatever you feel, he's a loving and a caring father. One that you can go to at any time. You may have a problem in the middle of the night. It's 3:00 in the morning. Who can you call? Some people you cannot call them at 3:00. You better not. But you can call Jesus. You can call them. All right, Philippians 4:6-7. We have to do this. We have all these good things that Jesus had provided for us. But we're going to have to be willing to cast our cares. He's not going to come and just grab them. He said, casting all your cares on me. He's not going to grab them out of your hand and say, you should have come to me, so I'm taking it. He's not going to do that. He gives us the privilege to bring it to him. So we want to have the willingness to fight. Some people don't fight. When things get tough, they give up. Some people actually take their lives because things got tough. Even I was talking the other day about the job market. And we were talking about so many people. She was saying about so many people without jobs. And it's probably going to get worse. Well, some of those people, when they don't see they don't have a job, they feel like, I can't feed my family. They take their lives. But we don't need to do that. We need to take it to the Lord. Philippians 4:6-7.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.
You see, don't be careful mean don't worry. Don't worry about a thing. It says, be careful for nothing, but in not one thing, everything, by prayer. We have the opportunity to pray to him, don't we? And supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Lord, I need more money. Lord, I need food. Lord, I need a better place to live. I need a decent car. And we can bring all these things to him, for he cares for us. Oh, I appreciate having a God that we can bring everything to him in prayer. And it sure will make a difference. This scripture says, and the peace of God which passes understanding. You know why it passes understanding? It's not when you things are going wrong and you have peace still. People, normal, the natural man can't figure that one out. How can you have peace when things are going bad? How can you, they just talk down to you. How can you be at peace? Let's go now to, I want us to think of some things we can do to keep peace, keep our hearts and minds where we can have peace. Isaiah 26:3. What can we do? We go to the Lord. We learn to go to the Lord. We learn to take our problems to Him. We learn to pray and trust in Him when we are in trouble, when there's trouble all around us. And then we can also do some other things. We can resist the temptation to feel sorry for ourselves. You know, if we start feeling sorry for ourselves, the devil can make us go into depression. But we have to fight the devil. We need to resist him. And we also watch the things we think about. Just if we allow ourselves to just meditate on the bad things that's happening, it will take us down. Our heart will be troubled. But we don't want to let our heart be troubled. So Isaiah 26:3 says what?
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stayed on thee because he trusted in thee.
Keep our minds on the Lord. When it looks like everything is going wrong, let's lift our minds on the Lord. Sometimes when I'll be having something that's really troubling to me, I start quoting that scripture about when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. We want to get our minds off of these things. And put it on the Lord. He said, keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And also in Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. That's a really big list of things. It say, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is what we can keep our minds on. When we negative thoughts come to our mind, let's examine it. Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? I tell you, most of them will not pass the lovely. It may be true. It may seem just. It may seem pure. But it may not be lovely. And so we don't need to think on. And he said, if it's a good report and if there's any virtue, will God get any glory out of those thoughts? Will it be a blessing? Will it, if it's any praise? When we get through examining those thoughts according to this list, then we'll be able to have peace. And the enemy will not take advantage of us and give us a troubled mind. Another thought is righteous living. If we live righteous before God, we can have confidence in His help in the time of trouble. If we live any kind of way and do our own thing, we don't have that confidence. But if we obey the word of God and do what the Lord tells us, we can rest in His help in the time of trouble. Let's go to Psalms 85 and 10. We want to read several verses that lets us know that if we're living right, we can have peace. God will help us. We'll know he's going to take care of us. He has promised to do that. Yet, if we don't live right, if we don't obey his commandments, we don't have that promise to claim.
Psalm 85 and 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
See? Mercy and truth, in other words, they go together. Righteousness and peace, they kiss each other, meaning it's a part of it. If you are living righteous, you're going to have peace as well. There's a scripture, I think it's Isaiah 32:17-18. Look and see if that, it tells about righteousness and truth. And if we live right, we can live peaceably.
Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effort of
effects.
Effects of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever.
See, if you live right, you're going to have peace. And it's going to be quietness and assurance forever. You can be assured. Lord, I don't know how I'm coming out of this, but I know you're going to be right there with me. I have assurance of that. I can have that assurance if I live righteous. Now I want us to go to, hold on just a minute. I want to read Proverbs 3. And when my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If you obey the word of God, if you obey his commandments, we will have peace. It's going to be added to us. Now, I want us to look, we're moving on, at an example of how King Hezekiah met with trouble, but how God worked for him. So let's go to 2 Kings 19 and 1 through 7. But I want to tell you, before he started reading that, Hezekiah had some very bad news. This Sennacherib had threatened him. I'm going to read 18 and 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Israel. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they were come, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. I just want you to see what he was saying. So he called to the king, and he told this Rabshakeh and said, and told him to give this word to Hezekiah. And so he did. And he said, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus says the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? And so he was telling him, you trusting that in the Lord. And he even told them not to believe Hezekiah. And in 22nd verse, he say, but if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places, whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Other words, you trusting in the Lord. And he was making fun of him and telling him, the people, don't even listen to him. And because God, he's not going to be able to protect you from me. In other words, I've destroyed other people, and you're not going to be protected. So go on now and read verse 1. Hold on.
19:1. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he said, Lehum, which was over the household, and Sheba the scribe, and the elders of the priests, and covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the king, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is the day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord that thy it may be the Lord thy God will bear all the words of Rephaim, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has set to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of the king has God came to Isaiah. How far you want to go?
Just to verse 7.
And Isaiah said unto them, Thus say ye to your master, thus said the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the service of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.
Okay, so God is going to take care of this man. Hezekiah was very grieved. He was very afraid. And then, still yet, he got a letter from him. And so Hezekiah went to on the 14th verse, he received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone. And of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. And so this is the prayer that he prayed. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech you, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Even thou only. 19th verse. So God heard prayer, and he destroyed this down in the 35th. Read 35 to 37 for me. And we'll see the end of the story.
2 Kings 19:35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and wept at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisrah, his God, that Abimelech, the Shalach, his son, smote them with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Ephrah, his son, reigned in his stead.
So you see, he didn't get by. And just like the Lord delivered them with a mighty deliverance, he will do the same for us. All we have to do is trust him and pray and believe and know. Not let our heart get troubled. That's not solving anything. Oh, woe is me. I don't know how this is going to work out. It's not solving anything. So we have to take things to the Lord in prayer and trust him, and he's able to work for us. I have two more scriptures, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. So the Lord will take care of us. We can be assured of his mercy and his help. We can rest. When we live for him, when trouble comes our way and we take them to the Lord, we can rest those troubles with him and be assured he'll take care of them. He'll take care of the problem. Sometimes we might need to say, Lord, take care of this. It's too big for me. I can't do anything. I don't know what to do with this. And he will. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16.
2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all.
The Lord of peace. He is the God of peace. And he wants to give us peace. 2 Corinthians 13 and 11.
13 and 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you.
That's it. Live in peace. Be of good courage. Live, do what he says do, and we can have assurance that our heart is not troubled. We don't have to let our heart be troubled because God has designed a plan for us to be able to have peace in the midst of trouble. Pray for me.